All right, go ahead, talk. Say, you're listening to the Word Bros Podcast.
No.
Do it.
No.
Do it. Say, you're listening to the Word Bros Podcast. Do it. You're listening to the Word Bros Podcast. TheWordBros.com.
Welcome again to another edition of The Word Bros. I'm Kevin.
And I'm Bob. And this week we have a very special guest. We have our dear friend. We've known Shane Berryhill for a very long time.
Yeah, I didn't realize until you said that. How long has it been? Yeah.
It's
we haven't talked to him in a while either.
Yeah. And we're going to end that by talking to Shane Berryhill today on the podcast. He's our very special guest. We're happy to have him on. So let him bend your ear and tell you all about it. He's got a lot of projects going on. I had no idea he had so many things in the, so many irons in the fire, if you will. But let us talk to our dear friend, Shane Berryhill on Word Bros. Today we're speaking with a good friend of ours. Shane, we've known you for a long time, right?
Yeah, I know. We're old pals. Long time no speaky, though.
It is. It's we met in, 2016, Shane Berryhill, who we're speaking to today, who has a brand new Kickstarter out. Jason and the Olympians, the new graphic novel, is live right now on Kickstarter. I'm getting it all in there right when we get on the jump off, my friend. But yeah, we've known each other since, 2016, I think?
Yeah, somewhere right around there. It was Heroes Con, like happens with so many of us.
Yeah, I think I remember it was right when Monty the Dinosaur was coming out when I was still self-publishing that. So that was a long time ago, man.
Yeah, and look at you now. We were talking. Yeah, I mean, you've taken that ball and ran with it, man.
Big time. Big time. Kevin and I are big timers, son. Well,
speaking of, when do I get my copy of Dust Pirates? When do I get it?
In January, when everybody else will. You're not special. Like, if you check that Kickstarter page, it says January 2022, baby. That's when you're getting yours, just like every other motherfucker. You ain't special.
Yeah.
We've known each other for a long time, but it ain't like that. Like, things are going well for us. Things are going well for you. Yes, because there was a stretch there where you had the poster is in the background, Sherwood, that you did through 12 gauge. You had some momentum going. And then much like what happens in comics, things kind of take place and we kind of go different ways. But now you're back on path. Yes. Making these books, absolutely. Making things happen.
100%. Got several irons in the fire. You know, COVID has been the worst thing and the best thing that has happened to my creative career. It sounds like probably for you guys too, because if you're not out and about, you're getting a lot of shit done.
It's true.
But, you know, we were talking earlier, you know, it's hard to juggle often a full-time job, family, even if your full-time job is family, and then try to create comics and just prose and all that good stuff on top of it. I mean, we love it, don't we, fellas? We just can't help ourselves.
Well, I mean, I think at this stage, you kind of have to. You have no other choice, because if you don't love the idea of telling stories and making comics, then at our level, why the hell are you doing it? Because there's no real... Some days it feels like there's no pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. You know what I'm saying? It's just a grind that doesn't seem like it ends.
Yeah,
a bunch of work and that's what you get for your love, and then what's really crazy is go back and do it again. What ends up happening is you get one book done and then you're like, all right, we got that one done, it feels good for maybe 2-3 weeks, and then you're back at it again to get another book out,
right? So. But I know you, Kevin, you can't help yourself. You're like me, you're like Bob. It'll just keep you up at night. You'll have this story. And that's where the joy is for me. Tell me about, I do ruminate on it a little bit. I do, like you said, I'll just bask in the glory of whatever, you know, and I say that facetiously for a little while, but, you know, I get bored. The joy for me is in the actual creating and the doing and just having the projects, the back and forth with my collaborators and, you know, shit, man, just talking comics like this with you guys. I mean, yes, I'm here absolutely promoting Jason and the Olympians and my other projects. But man, I haven't got to talk to anybody about comics in so damn long. It's a pleasure. Thank you guys for keeping that torch burning and just for allowing me to be a part of it tonight. So,
No problem, man. Thank you. Thank you for coming on and wanting to share your comics journey with us and our audience and
people on Twitch
and the people on Twitch that are watching right now. So it's been cool, man. Now, Shane, tell us, I mean, when did you've been doing this for quite some time. Yes. And you had some success right out of the gate, correct?
Yeah, so to speak. I've been lucky. I'm not a household name by any stretch of the word. I hope to be someday, but I started out, man, I wrote a novel and as a prose novel, and it was Chance, Fortune, and the Outlaws back in the early aughts. I think it got published in 2016 by Tor Macmillan, which is the largest sci-fi fantasy publisher in the world.
Yeah.
And it was long story short on that, I got two agents warring over me at that time. And but before that, a pile of rejection letters you would not believe. And I was like, if I'd known all I had to do was tell one agent, well, this other one wants me, I would have lied about it eons ago. But from there, I turned that in. I cold pitched, worked with the good team at 12 Cage Comics, got Sherwood, Texas going with that crew, Daniel Hilliard and Kevin Gardner and the company. I just cannot thank them enough. They took a chance on me and then because comics is a whole different ball of wax. And started trying to turn that into my next project with our mutual friend Hoyt Silva.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I am pleased to say that is one of the things that is back hardcore on track. Have you guys talked to Hoyt at all?
We talked to Hoyt sparingly. Like, there's no beef there. It's just he's doing stuff. We're doing stuff. It's just when we can catch up, we can. And that's a big reason why not having the cons around suck, because,
right,
you know, you get to spend 3 or 4 days with these folks that you see once or twice a year. And with no cons, it's like you kind of lose connection with some of the people that you consider closest to you, you know?
Yeah. We got to talk to Hoyt and Doug when Yumi came out. We got to talk to both of them and we talked to Hoyt a little then, but like Bob said, we've been super busy too with COVID and just like you said. Yeah. I'm sure we'll catch up again soon. So tell us about what's on track with Adventures in Crime.
Yeah, man.
It's not Adventures in Crime. The project has been totally reworked.
Okay.
We've got a brand new publisher. Somebody I believe you guys have worked with. But it is now, it is Comic Books Keel. Comic Books Keel.
Okay.
And Super Psyched, that's going to be coming out from actually Scout Comics.
Oh, that's okay. Cool. Nice.
Because
that project was kind of the thing, I think, that, and I think this, it's an interesting story with you because you are kind of like a phoenix that rose from some ashes with that project. You were kind of down and out with that thing for quite some time, and it became this kind of arduous task of getting it released. Explain, because I think a lot of people don't understand that this takes a really long time to do, and you may be getting close to your goal, but sometimes the goalposts move.
Yeah.
And so explain some of that and how all this came about and how you've been able to kind of keep moving and keep pushing and get this project released, Crime Comic Books Kill, as it's called now. How did that come about?
Well, Hoyt and I, we put together some of the early art and work and frankly mocked it up. and found a publisher at the time. We it was a mutual thing. We decided this just wasn't a good fit for either of us, mm-hmm. and decided to move on. I hate to quote a Hollywood term, but it languished in development hell for a long time. But ultimately, and I'll be honest with you guys, you just never say die. Finally, Scout Comics was the one, because, you know, and I think a lot of that may be because of the subject matter. In a way, comic books kill is, and I'll give you guys the elevator pitch real quick. It's basically, it uses the springboard, it uses the long hush hush rumor that Golden Age comics served as a front for the mafia as its springboard to tell a tale about Golden Age comics creator Jack Levi, who enters into a secret love affair with the mistress, Harlem socialite mistress of his mob boss benefactor, and just sparks fly from there. And, you know, in a way, you know, it's not like, you know, the big two have any interest in highlighting potential past with some shady characters, which, guys, you know, you might know. I am blanking right now.
DC Comics?
No. but like
Spider-Man.
What is his name? Beanie
Siegel.
No. Bugsy Siegel.
There you go.
Thank you, Bob. Bugsy Siegel, who features in the book. And, you know, he was during that time, a very prominent Jewish gangster. And that gets into Bugsy Siegel and Meyer Lansky. And they're dealing with, you know, who were the guys creating comics in that day and age? It was a lot of Jewish immigrants, first and second generation. And so the ties the story happens naturally. And so, and, you know, that may be something the big two, and it's just a rumor. I'm not accusing Marvel or DC of anything, any misconduct whatsoever, at least in that regard. That may be something that, you know, it's kind of a critique of the industry. A lot of people would argue that, you know, comics is still full of crooks, but,
wow. You're like, wow, you're
hot takes.
I know, hot takes. Hot takes. This is crazy.
Hot takes. But it's littered. You look at an old Wizard magazine, an old comic scene, there's all kinds of things. Comics is a business, and in business, there are always going to be great, upstanding people. Mm-hmm. You want to enrich the medium and the creators, and comics is full of that. But business also,
we've also done enough shows and enough events to kind of walk around Artist Alley and know that there are some strange cats making comic books, and there are some dudes that are looking up to, and I say dudes genderless, looking to gobble up IPs and looking to kind of get over on new creators and young creators. So it does happen. You are correct about that. Right. Now, you guys walked away from a deal. I mean, we've talked about this with a couple other people. That takes a lot of balls to do, man, because if you do that, who knows where your story will end, but it looks like you have a happy ending with Scout Comics here, which is nice.
Hey, buddy. You got
I know, I see him. He loves me. He loves the camera.
That's all right, man. The more the merrier.
Yeah.
Like I said, it just wasn't a good fit at the end of the day. And, it was a mutual parting. And, but Hoyt and I know both, believe in the story. And just like with Jason and the Olympians or others, if you believe in the story, I just got, you know, it's like having, speaking of kids on camera, it's like having a baby. You believe in that baby. You know what your child can do. You know that it can go, that story has legs. And it's just a matter of finding the proper outlet for it. And man, speaking of that, you guys wrote the book on that. Man, when you're running Kickstarter, when you're promoting, I mean, woo! Ric Flair has nothing on YouTube, guys. I mean, good Lord. I aspire to. In that regard,
just eat some hot wings, Shane. Just eat some the hottest hot wings you can find, and you'll be good, man. Hottest ones you can find.
Yeah. But, and see, because of that, look at you guys. You're doing it night after night. You're bringing it in. Keep at it. You're going to break through. That's how you know. That's what separates the amateurs from the pros. And you guys, if you don't think of yourselves as pros now, you are. You just need your big break. That's all any of us need. We're there. We're bringing it. And I say in all humility, you guys, you're doing it. So props to you. Big props.
And respect to you too, Shane. I appreciate
back at you, man.
Yeah, I appreciate the kind words. It's a cutthroat business. But I don't buy a lot of that. I think a lot of the people that are making the books are kind of rooting for each other. A lot of the guys and gals that are making comics are doing it, and they want their friends to succeed, and they enjoy when people that they know and like kind of move forward with their careers. Because, I mean, a rising tide raises all ships. Like, I've been saying that for a really long time. And
years.
What's good for you, Shane, is good for us. And what's good for us is good for Pat Shan. And what's good for Pat is good for David Booher. And it just goes up and down the line, because it's just eyes, new eyes and new projects and things happening. And speaking of new eyes and new projects, tell us about the new project you've got on Kickstarter, Jason and the Olympians here.
All right. Jason and the Olympians is a fun, crazy, rollicking robots, spaceships, and friendships is my, you know, my log line for Jason and the Olympians. It's admittedly aimed at people young of age and young of heart, but the story is, imagine that in a world where the gods of Greek myth actually existed and continue to exist throughout history, and then probably into 100 years into our future. Well, the titans of myth return to Earth, revealing the dark alien truth behind their legend, and basically wipe it out. So the remnants of humanity escape on a spacefaring ark, the starship Olympia, which it's up to young teenage prodigy Jason Mukai and her demigoddess clone friends and the rest of the Olympians to try to find a way to activate the robot colossi and form the giant robot protector Talos to repel the Titans. It is a love letter to Evangelion, Voltron. Fans of Star Wars are going to dig it. If you like Netflix, She-Ra right there. Haters going to hate on Masters of the Universe, but if you're not a hater, I think this book is for you too. And even if you are, I think you should give it a chance. I wrote a book. My co-creator is artist Alex Ogle, which I've got to talk about that guy in a minute. He's our letterer, our graphic designer, and he's got a variant cover for this, which is first day exclusive, but it will be available just through tomorrow morning. So jump on that tonight. But just announce for that guy, speak of, you know, your work ethic. He has a variant cover coming out in October for Amazing Spider-Man number 5.
Nice.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah. So super proud of that guy. What was I jawing about? I forgot.
Jason and the Olympians. Go ahead, man.
All right. But, you know, it's a fun book and, and that's what brings up Alex. I've been torn with an idea, and it kind of just this book came about like, what's a story that Alex and his daughter, he's got a teenage daughter, could read together and both of them enjoy equally? And that's kind of the gestation for that. I mean, it's admittedly a big mainstream popcorn book. It's fun. It's kind of like what you guys did with Dust Pirates.
In space.
It's an event book. You talked in the Genesis, you talked about how Dust Pirates was the event movies of our youth. Well, Jason and the Olympians is very much the same thing.
It stinks too, because, you know, when you look at the box office and the movies being made, and I don't, get me wrong, I love the Marvel Universe, like, it's cool. Yeah. And the DC movies, this new one looks good, Suicide Squad, but they don't do the old fashioned Hollywood blockbusters anymore. Like, they just don't make those kinds of movies.
Yeah.
And it's fun to see comics, especially more independent comics, trying to fill that void. trying to kind of open into that vacuum where things used to be. Cause I mean, Kevin and I talked about it with Dust Pirates, mm-hmm. man, like every summer was always like, oh man, they got the new hot movie coming out. Like, it's going to be cool. Terminator 2 is going to be great. I mean, right. Robin Hood mm-hmm. movie looks cool. I mean, look at all the, like, there was just, it's just like year after year, there was all these cool ideas, but it just seems like now it's just like, it's a bonanza of superhero flicks.
Or here's just a movie. Here's a movie. That we're putting out in summertime because that's when we're putting it out.
What about the pomp and circumstance? You're trying to bring that back, yes?
Yeah, well, exactly. I echo you guys. I remember, man, I don't even know if I was in middle school, maybe in elementary school, but I walked into the theater probably 15 minutes late into John Carpenter's Big Trouble of Little China when I was a kid. Didn't know what the hell it was and was just blown away, you know? And I mean, it was daring. That movie would not get made in a million years now. And why not? I mean, and there were just, that's just the tip of that iceberg you guys are referring to. Mm-hmm. Where are those films today? Where are those books, those comics? I don't know. So part of my journey is, you know, create what you want to see in the world. Like, you know, I wish there was this thing. Like, holy shit, I need to go make that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
and I think that's the cool part about Kickstarter as well. It's now you can try to find an audience for your thing. And what you got, when did you guys launch the Kickstarter for Jason?
Launch today.
Oh, nice.
Pros exclusive.
Well, there you go. Nice. So you guys have been live for a day. By the time this comes out next Monday, it'll be about a week. So you guys have been live for about a week. And how are you taking the Kickstarter pressure? Like, what's your routine? I'm a avid Kickstarter watcher. I watch it nonstop for hours at a time, like a crazy person. Kevin's more laid back about it than I am. Well, what's your style look like, Shane?
I take the Kevin path because I know that the Bob path is the path to madness, sir. But no, we're doing pretty good. Day one, it launched this morning. And we're only asking for 6,500 because the book is done.
That's awesome.
Right.
Yeah, it's done. We're just needing, trying to get money for shipping and printing. I mean, that's basically it. But we're knocking on the door of a grand day one. So none too shabby.
No, sir. I believe that's you good. Are over that number. You are.
Yes.
You're currently at $1,045.
Nice.
So
nice.
You made that grand. So you are what, a sixth of the way there already. So
we're bros magic. We're bros.
I take no credit.
We can't take credit for that. Yeah.
Man, that's
thank you, Twitch listeners. Thank you.
That's on you, my man.
You did it all. You and Alex did it.
Yeah. And how did you hook up with Alex? He's a super talented guy. He's very big in the Chattanooga, Tennessee art scene. How did you guys hook up? Are you guys just two old Tennessee boys got together making comics? What?
You got it, man. I mean, I'm in the Chattanooga area as well. And so we're just like, hey, you know, we like the same stuff. You're an artist. I'm a writer. We need to do something together. He's a super cool guy. Great family. Actually, a couple of weeks ago, I had him and some other of our comics creators, friends over just to swim. And it's good times. Good times. Talk comics. And speaking of that, I would be remiss not to mention another Chattanooga area artist that I'm collaborating with on. I've got a webtoon. It's called the artist is Mike Salter, and the webtoon is called The Amazing Grace. My pitch and the first season is already launched. Season two, just the next episode thereof will have dropped this past Friday by the time folks see this. But my elevator pitch to that is 1981. Grace Jackson and her fellow sister knights travel the globe fighting supernatural evil while they try to unravel the mystery of Grace's past.
Sounds fun.
Yeah, a warrior for truth, friendship, and love. She is the Amazing Grace.
There you go. That sounds good. Listen, you've been busy during this whole pandemic thing, huh?
I told you, man. I mean, like I said, the worst thing and the best thing. So
you've been sitting in the mirror doing that, like getting the pitches down. Like, you got the facial expressions for them and everything, Shane. It's on point, sir.
Man, I learned from the best. I learned from you guys. And
I'm sitting here poring over an email I've been trying to send to an editor all day because I don't know how to fucking put two words together when it comes to certain things. It's just like, what am I going to say to this person and how am I going to do this? This is awful. But yeah, so don't give us too much credit, Shane. We're just average schmucks like everybody else.
Oh, hush.
So you're doing a webtoon. What brought you to that kind of format? Like what interests you in the webtoon format?
I thought it would just be actually a good, a good format. I mean, webtoon, super popular. And admittedly, there's a lot of comics creators making good pay rates. And I hope Mike Salter, I'd love to see that down the road for him on this and The Amazing Grace. It's kind of, but it's more just a way to get, like I said earlier, I'm not a household name. And Michael, he's traditionally more a portrait artist. And this was a great thing for him just to kind of learn the narrative vocabulary, if you will. The Amazing Grace. So, and yes, please be sure and search it, The Amazing Grace. But the first episode, the first season, it's Grace versus Dracula, the Prince of Darkness.
Nice.
Yeah. Did I want to have my cake and eat it too by using a public domain character for the villain? Absolutely.
So. Now you said Michael is a portrait artist. So was it tough getting him to work on sequentials, or was it something he'd always wanted to do? Because that's something I think a lot of our listeners don't know about either. Is like we get asked that question a lot. How do you find artists for projects? So if you could go into a little bit of that, I think that would help people out.
Well, I mean, first and foremost, there's a great organization here in Chattanooga. This is kind of how we all got together. I should be remiss. Chattanooga, actually, I know, Bob, you've been down to Epicos.
I have.
And there's a great shop, Henry Flood and Company. And then there's also Megan and Jason and John Porter over at Infinity Flux. And Infinity Flux hosts, COVID put a damper on that. We still do some Zooms, which I haven't been the best about attending. But prior to, we got together live, area, just people who dug comics, who dug zines, and just got together and drew and made art and talked. It was called the Chat Comics Co-op. And that's kind of how all of us ultimately hooked up. But anyway, so Mike's part of that. And he had done some comics work, but he's, he's doing great. I mean, he's learned the vocabulary. It's different because, portraits are historically more this and comics are this. And it's just learning that vocabulary. So, and me learning to write from Mike. This is Jason and the idea, Jason and the Olympians. It's kind of, I had the seed of the idea and went to Alex and said, I think this is a good story. And I wrote this, but with Mike, The Amazing Grace was the first time I actually, and maybe this is me developing, because, as a collaboration, a good one, you have that baby together. And this is the first time I really went to Mike and said, well, Mike, what do you like to draw? And he said, monsters, beautiful women, and, castles. I was like, all right, buddy, I'll let me craft a story for you. Let's do it. So rock and roll.
Now, it seems like webtoons would be a good place for that because of the style of the art, how you scroll down. So it's like each scroll is a new portrait almost. Did you have a problem writing in that format? Like, how do you write a page turn on every panel? Like, how did you go about doing that, Shane? Was it challenging for you?
I would call it challenging. It was definitely an adjustment. I mean, in all humility, it's just it was kind of learning the because you try to write comics where one panel leads into the next. Mm-hmm. Every page is a cliffhanger. And it's kind of, you try to do that even more so with webtoon. Like literally every panel itself is a page.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So, yeah, you're trying to. So it's been a learning experience. On that note, one of the biggest adjustments, I'm doing another project I've got going on. It's an original project with, speaking of digital comics, Macroverse. The first truly collectible digital comics, the Macroverse app, I would highly recommend them. But it takes the best. If Webtoons is trying to be the YouTube of digital comics, Macroverse is aspiring to be the HBO of comics, if that makes a digital comic, if that makes any sense. They really want a curated line. And they're also trying to, you know, like motion comics are not comics, but yet they are, and animation is sort of comics, but it's not. Macroverse has found that sweet spot, molds the best of like animation and comics, kind of how they seamlessly work together. So that writing process, the scripts are very different, and I couldn't even begin to describe it if I wanted to for there. I would just have to show you, like, but that has been challenging, but it's cool. It's more like a screenplay format. And I'm jawing. I should give you the project. I've got an original project with them I'm writing called The Top Secret Service. And imagine a world where governments actually engage in, you know, esoteric mystical warfare. It's Doctor Strange meets James Bond.
That's cool.
That's elevator pitch there. So
you're just elevator pitching us all day. Yeah. Now, I'm looking at the website. Is this like an NFT thing?
They do, in a responsible manner, they do engage in NFTs.
Interesting.
I don't know the ins and outs of that. So you can talk to more Eben and those guys who run it. They, you know, they're trying to do it in an environmentally conscious manner, which I'm all about.
Yeah, no, totally. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. All right. So you got your fingers in all kinds of different things, huh?
I'm trying, buddy. I mean, like I said, you keep it going, you keep it running. Comics. Making comics is the fun part. I don't have to tell you guys, just juggling everything, life, the work, it's a challenge.
Promoting them is the not fun part. Yeah. So, because when you have to go out and do that hustle, people be like, man, you've been sitting here blasting about this thing for 30 days, you know, and you're going to be on that ride with Kickstarter. And I'm like, well, mute me then, because I got to do it. No one else is going to do it for us. You
right.
Know,
so. Right. We're not Batman, you know. Batman can put DC can publish Bruce Wayne's grocery list and 1,000 people will buy it. Marvel can do the same with Spider-Man. So again, we've got to be a jack of all trades. We've got to cut promos on this stuff. Just, you know, marketing is the biggest challenge of guys at our level. And so thank you for doing this, hosting this podcast, giving us this platform. Not only for all us comic creators, and thank you, listeners of Word Bros and watchers on Twitter. Man, you are the lifeblood. That's what allows us to fulfill our dreams doing this. So, man, I just can't thank you enough, your fan base and your listeners.
Hey, we're here to help everybody, man, because like I said, it's just if you can provide this kind of reach to people, then why not? And especially people that we've known for as long as we've known you, Mr. Berryhill. So you've got Comic Books Kill with Scout. When is that coming out? You have a date for that yet?
Not yet. Not a publisher.
Okay. Okay. So you got that thing in the works. You've also got your Kickstarter right now. You've got your Webtoon. What aren't you doing at this point? Like, are you building houses with Jimmy Carter, like for Habitat for Humanity as well? Are you?
That's Thursdays, Bob. That's Thursday.
He didn't tell us about the animated project he's got
like,
in the works.
What else are you working on, man? You know, you've got a full-time job. You got a family. Like, how do you find enough time in the day for all this stuff?
Well, I don't. Not very, very little sleep, unfortunately, but. But no, I in all humility, I am good at just multitasking. It sounds cliche and silly, but it's the truth. I mean, you know, I put out a schedule. This is what I'm doing on this day at this time. Otherwise, I'm human. I will screw it up. I will not be there. So.
So tell us what your daily schedule then looks like. I would love to hear this for people who are trying to balance work and family and then comics as a side gig. Like, what is your schedule? What does your day look like?
Well, I will be up already working my day job at 7 a.m.
Okay.
And then, but I'll be off, you know, probably around 4 o'clock. So, you know, I'll see to my son, the dog a little bit, and then I'll write, sit down and try to work and write and or follow up on emails or whatever you got to do for an hour or two. And then we sit down, have dinner as a family. And then tonight, one of the cool things I'm geeking out on now that my son's old enough, we're doing, it's not a rewatch for him, but it is of us. We started just this last week of Stranger Things.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, yeah. So I'm up there with him, but, you know, I've probably got this laptop open just a little working as we sit down.
That's cool. That's cool.
Yeah. And, you know, and then it's off to bed just to do it the next day. So it's cool. Quick. You know, it doesn't sound like a lot, but if you do it, you know, if all you can squeeze in is 30 minutes a day, that adds up over, you know, over time. And it's hard. I as a writer, I hate having that little of a time to work on something. Usually that's, if it's that small a window, personally, you know, I'm probably following up on emails or something like that. I love to write when I've got a good chunk of time, when I can sit down and think about it.
Yeah.
Just lose myself in the work and the world. But that doesn't always happen. So I have to make the best of it. And I think it was, Dune is about to come out.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah. It looks awesome. It looks great.
I'm pumped about that. But Frank Herbert, he once said, you know, sometimes I write and I'm in the zone. Sometimes I write and I'm not. That Frank Herbert, the author of Dune, and then he says,
"There's no way he was that brief about it. Like that's impossible."
Well,
there's 60 more pages to that description. Yes,
there has.
Oh, well, I'm coming.
No way, says, Frank Herbert was that brief about anything. No way.
My point being, you're right, Bob. My point being, he would to finish that. He would say, "But when I walk away and I'm paraphrasing and come back, I can't tell the difference between the two."
Yeah.
Couldn't tell the difference when I wrote this in the zone versus not. So I think that's a little bit of a myth, but I think the more you do it, the consistency, the quicker you get in that zone and you do it. You know, you want to be a pro batter, you got to put the hours in the batting cage. Writing, making comics is no different. It's hard work. You guys know it.
It is hard work, and you are correct about that, sir. So you've got all these projects in the works. The Kickstarter is going for 40 days. What are you, 40 days? What are you nuts? Like you're going to kill yourself. 40.
He said he takes the layback path, Bob.
But still,
so, like,
though,
he's not going to be watching it for 40 days.
Still,
I need a little Bob France over here. Just like, hey, this thing for
40 days. That's a lot of tweeting. Oh my God. I mean, that's nuts.
But for him, if he takes the laid back path, it's only 20 days, maybe.
Right.
So, see,
I don't know.
He
man.
Just doesn't look at it for 20 days.
That just sounds like 10 more days to freak out to me. That does not sound enjoyable.
Well, you know, we believe in the book. We believe in the story, and I'd love to have it in 4 days and say we're right. Good.
No shit.
But if it takes 40, it takes 40. I hope your listeners and watchers, if you'll go to. www.jacin, and that is jacin.info. Jacin, jacin.info. That's the Kickstarter page. Jacin, short for Jacinta. It's Jason Mukai. She's Portuguese, Japanese heritage, hence the name. And I think they're going to have a good, I promise you. Readers will have a good time.
Well, the art looks great. I mean, I'm sure the story's good. You're a talented guy. You know how to put words together. You know what you're doing. So this thing should be pretty good. So, well, you got 65 pages. That's nice. That's a nice little chunk. Do you enjoy writing in that format? Because I can tell you that after I read Pulp by Brubaker and Phillips, that kind of changed my life and how I want to make comics. Like, are you on the same boat? Like, just give me 80 pages and we'll be done with it or what?
Well, actually, despite the word count, the book is, I mean, it's not dense. And I should, first of all, you spoke about the art. Mattia Monaco, whose name I'm probably butchering, I've never spoke to him in person. He's the true artist. And he's from Italy. He's done work for Aftershock Comics, Knock 'Em Dead, a limited series with them. And
man, oh, that's cool.
Yeah. His work is phenomenal. I hope if you guys haven't dove in to what I sent you, I hope you do. I mean, he is amazing. he is what has lifted this book to the next level. And then having Maya Opasek's colors on top of that, just Technicolor beauty, making it sing. It is fantastic, in all humility. So they've taken what pittance I've given them and just made a beautiful project out of it beyond description. I would write Ship in Hangar, and then Mattia would bring in this, you know, this Mobius anime looking super intricate layout. And it would just take my breath away every new page I got.
That's great. So,
yeah. But the book, despite that, is not dense, and it's 4 chapters. And then with little sections of not prose per se, but mock-up articles, like an e-diary. There's a robot Centauriton called Kiron, robot who has Kiron's corner and kind of gives the lowdown to the about Jason and her friends, just to make it fun, just a world build.
It's That's awesome.
Yeah, I hate to call it something like Alan Moore did in Watchmen, you know, where like had little breaks in between the narrative, because those were dark and made you want to, you know, stick your head in the toilet and flush repeatedly. But I love Watchmen. But this is the opposite of that. Think lighthearted, think fun. You know, just that's the absolute vibe we're going for.
That's as long awesome.
People have a good time.
That's great, man.
Comics need more fun, so.
Yes, we are. Kevin and I are big believers in that. If you know anything about us and our work, comics need to be more fun. And it sounds like you're trying to do that as well. This thing is live for 39 more days as of right now. If you're watching this on Twitch, I guess 32 if you're listening to this on Monday when it comes out through wordbros.com. Shane, man, I mean, I'm really happy that you're back. I'm happy that you're back working. I'm happy that you're making books. I think comics needs people with your enthusiasm and your kind of your drive. Thank you, Kevin. I was going to say go-getter attitude, but drive sounds much more concise. I'm happy for you, man. I'm happy you're back, and I'll look forward to seeing you at shows once Comic Cons come back into our lives, hopefully.
Absolutely. I cannot wait. Good times, good friends, good people. To your listeners, to your watchers, if you have not been to a comics convention, the moment you feel safe to do so, go. That's where you can meet and talk to fine people like Kevin and Bob, and just really, I mean, you form a family with these people, and it's good. It's our Disneyland, and we're glad you're there. We want to totally. Talk to you. Yeah. So come see us all, guys.
Yeah, buddy. Shane, man, thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it. The book is Jason and the Olympians. It's on Kickstarter right now. Do that. What's the website again? It's jacin.info, right?
You got it, brother. You got it. Perfect.
There you go. So check that out. Shane, thank you so much.
And where can we find you on social media?
Yeah, where can we find you on social media, Shane?
So people can follow along with all these other projects you're doing.
Yeah. The best place probably to reach me or follow me is Instagram. I'm at Shane Berryhill 1, and that's the number 1. And maybe on the show description, you can see my name for that. And then I've also got a Shane Berryhill Writer page on Facebook. I've got an Amazon page where you can find all my prose, my comics, everything basically I've done in a nutshell. Highly recommend you, and would love it if you check out some audiobooks while you make them comics. Great listening stuff.
So. You made an audiobook?
Man, I've got, yeah.
That's cool. Who does the reading for it? Do you read it yourself?
No, there's I'll tell you, different people. Nick Sullivan narrated Chance Fortune and the Outlaws, and he's been on. He's an actor, voice narrator. He's done the music on Broadway.
I like how you have the poster over your shoulder and just pointed to it. Like, you mean that one right there? That's smart, right there. That's big time.
But and then Tim Powell, he was a chief Garmin on Brooklyn 99.
Nice.
Wow. He narrated The Long Silent Night, a holiday all ages book I did. So like I said, I've been lucky, guys, and I just like to tell stories. And like you, I can't help myself. I have literally tried to quit And just to, because it would make my life a lot simpler, but I can't. I love it. I love it just like you guys do.
So. That's fun. That's fun that you tried to quit, but they, but you kept doing
just
it.
Just keeping me back.
Well, I've even told, you know, I'm happier when I'm doing this. I mean, it drives me crazy when, again, there's like times. I said, you're pouring over an outline and you can't break what you're doing or you can't figure out where you want to go next. But it made the process of it, I really enjoy. It makes me happy.
Yeah, absolutely. My wife can attest. I all work and no play. Well, play is work for Shane, and so that keeps me from being a dull boy. So
I dig it. I dig it. Well, Shane, thank you so much for coming on, man. We really appreciate it. It's been a great time. Go back his books on Kickstarter. Go read his comics on Webtoon, and just keep an eye open for everything Shane Berryhill. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you, guys, and thanks to your listeners and watchers.
With Shane Berryhill, his book Jason and the Olympians is on Kickstarter right now. You can go to Jason, JACIN.info, and get all the stuff you need to score that book and help Shane fund his Kickstarter.
And Shane is doing a lot of cool things, so follow Shane on social media, check out what he's doing, and also follow the show. We need new listeners, so come on board. Give us a 5-star rating on any pod. 5-star?
5-star.
Okay. 5-star rating on any podcast platform that you listen to, and we will be very appreciative to you. And thank you, as always, for listening to The Word Brothers.
Next week, we got our good friend Dave Scheidt on. He's going to be talking about his new book, Mayor Good Boy, so we're really excited to talk to Dave. So that'll be awesome. And a week after that, we got some more guests. We are book solid here. It is the summer of the Word Bros. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll be back next week with Dave Scheidt.
You know what I hear about Dave Scheidt, Bob? I hear Dave Scheidt has the best snacks.
He does. And he's got cool hair. We'll talk to him all about snacks and hair next week on the Word Bros. Thanks for listening. You're listening to the Word Bros podcast, thewordbros.com.